be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for you? I think we can probably all say, I wonder what God really wants me to do. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." Giving thanks. Giving thanks, he says, is God's will for us. Now, I know we've heard that before. Probably every Thanksgiving service that you go to talks about that. As people of God, we are to live lives of thanksgiving to him. But the reason for giving thanks is often not all that pure. When I attended seminary, there were a lot of people from all over the country who sent money to support the students. And we would occasionally receive a list of people who donated, and we were asked to write and thank them for their support because the development department knew that this would be an encouragement for them to continue to donate. Now, it's certainly proper to thank people for their generosity and important to do so. But sometimes the motivation seems to be give thanks in order to get more things to give thanks for. But really, that's been the attitude of people since forever, or at least since the fall into sin. It actually formed the basis for the religions that people would invent throughout history. They were concerned that if they didn't give some sort of sacrifice to keep the gods appeased, bad things would happen. But on the other hand, if they pleased the gods with their gifts, then good things would come. And so the whole motivation behind worship was to ensure future blessings. Now, of course, we know that that isn't the way our God operates. The Lord gives us his good gifts because it's his very nature to be generous. So why is it, if it's God's nature to give, does he tell us that it's also his will for us to give him thanks? See, God doesn't need our thanks. But he knows this. He knows we need to give thanks. See, when we give thanks, it turns our eyes off of ourselves. It turns us outside of ourselves. And giving God thanks reminds us how good he is and how much we need him each and every day. I think another way of saying that is this. God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We're going to do that again, so keep that in mind. Just saying. Now, there really isn't any other book in the Bible that speaks about giving thanks more than the book of Psalms. There are at least 16 Psalms specifically written for the purpose of giving thanks to God, and many more which include words of thanksgiving. Of those 16 Psalms, about half are considered Psalms of community thanksgiving, times of worship. Psalms which give thanks for the things everyone is able to enjoy by God's favor. For instance, the rain that makes things grow and the things that grow and all of that. The other half of those 16 Psalms are Psalms of individual thanksgiving. And Psalm 16, our Old Testament reading this morning, is one of those. Now, we don't know the author or the specific circumstance of this psalm. But whoever it was, it's clear that God had taken him through some very difficult times. And as he reflected on what God had done for him, he pours out his heart in thanksgiving. Psalm 116 is also one of the 6 psalms that the Jews sing every year at the Passover meal. First, they sing Psalms 103, 113, 114, and 115, and then they eat. And then they lean back in their chairs and they relax and they talk about, through their Passover liturgy, the good old days when God had delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And after that, they sing Psalm 116, "I love the Lord because. Now that psalm has two parts. In the first half, the psalmist pours out his praise for God's love, listing the many ways that God has blessed him. And then in the second half, the psalmist tells how he plans to respond to those blessings. In the 19th century, a 15-year-old English girl suffered a spinal injury, which left her a semi-invalid for many years afterward. During that time, she fell deeply in love with a man and eventually married him. Elizabeth Barrett Browning expressed her love in words that are very familiar to most of us. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And she goes on to do just that. That's what the psalmist is doing here. Why does he love the Lord? He's going to count the ways. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. In essence, what he's saying here is, when I speak, God listens and pays attention to what I have to say. I think I've shared this story with you before, but as our children were growing up and they would talk with Janet and me, sometimes we weren't as attentive as we should be. I know it's a surprise to everybody else. I know that never happens with you and your kids. But one time, Lucas came up, and when it was clear that, I'm going to call her out, Janet wasn't paying attention to her, he grabbed her face and turned it toward him and said, "Mommy, listen to me with your eyes." Kids say the darndest things, don't they? Well, according to the psalmist, God always listens with his eyes. He's always focused on us. He stops whatever he's doing, inclines his ear to our prayers, and pays attention to what we have to say. The Apostle John put it this way, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." Giving thanks to God begins with the recognition that God hears our prayers, all of them. And God answers those prayers, all of them. Maybe not in the way we would have wanted or as quickly as we would want, but he does answer them. And then the psalmist declares that he loves the Lord because he has delivered and rescued him. "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling." Now, whoever the psalmist was, he remembers some problem that he had in the past, some terribly painful experience. And he did what most of us would do. He called out to God. He prayed for God to save him. And God did. The psalmist didn't die, so he gives credit where credit is due. He gives it to God. Now, by faith, he sees God's hand snatching him from the jaws of death. And he's thankful. And God's done that for every one of us as well. You can probably think back on your own life at one time or another when something wasn't going so well and maybe something was even going terrible. And you called out to God, and as you look back, whether it was over some time, you look back and you see that was God's hand doing that. But even greater than that, he snatched us from a fate worse than death. While we were yet sinners, God died for us, saving us from an eternity of misery and sorrow. Every one of us. And then the psalmist says he loves the Lord because he has richly blessed him. "Return, O my soul, to your rest. Be at peace. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." How has God dealt with him? Bountifully. The psalmist doesn't think on the things he doesn't have, but what he does have. And he recognizes that they come from the hand of a loving God. Two old friends bumped into one another on the street one day, and one of them looked terribly upset, almost on the verge of tears. And his friend asked him, "What's wrong?" And the guy said, "Well, 3 weeks ago, an uncle died, and he left me $10,000. The guy said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." "Yeah, and then 2 weeks ago, my cousin died, and he left me $25,000. And his friend said, "Wow, that sounds to me like you've really been blessed." And the other guy said, "No, you know, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I got almost $75,000. And like you probably are by now, that other guy was rather confused. And he said, "Then why do you look so unhappy?" And that sad guy said, "This week, nothing." Isn't that the way it is, though? Especially if those gifts come day after day, week after week, year after year. You know, even though it's a gift, whatever it is that we have in this world, even though just living from day to day, even though having the sunshine or the rain to fall is a gift, we simply come to expect it. We've been blessed to live in a land of bounty, and the things that we enjoy stagger the imagination. But as a result, there's a tendency to forget this and to fail to give thanks for the things that are so common. The Bible says that King Solomon was the richest man in all the world. Can you imagine what that would mean? I don't even know who the richest guy in the world is today. I mean, billionaires, dime a dozen, right? But Solomon, what a lucky guy. But you know, with all of his riches, he never had electricity in his palace. He didn't own an air conditioner. Never used a flush toilet that we know of. Never drove an automobile, traveled across the world in an airplane. I suspect he never tasted a banana or a home-baked chocolate chip cookie. When Solomon got a cold, he couldn't run down to the store and pick up a bottle of NyQuil to help him sleep better. In almost every way, you and I have more luxuries surrounding us than Solomon, the richest man in the world, ever dreamed of having. And we simply take them for granted. The truth is, we're really blessed, far beyond our ability to understand. And I think Solomon would have said the same thing, even in his day. Sure, we've got problems in our lives, no doubt. But they're mostly problems of affluence, not problems of poverty. We don't worry about hunger. We worry about losing weight. We don't worry about our children not having clothes to wear, but rather, do they have the right clothes to wear? And when we consider the many, many blessings we have, our knees should be sore from kneeling and giving thanks. So having reflected on God's blessing, here's how the psalmist responds. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What should I give God for all of this that I have received? How can I return thanks? What can I do to express my gratitude? God has done so very much for me. How can I begin to convey my appreciation? Well, he says a number of things, but we're just going to look at a couple. He says, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." He says, "I'm going to verbalize my thanks. I'm going to tell God how thankful I am." I don't know if you have ever heard of this woman, Harriet Martineau, but she was a British sociologist, a social theorist, and she's actually called the mother of sociology, a pretty important person in her day. She was also an atheist. And the story is told that on a beautiful fall morning, she and a Christian friend of hers were taking a walk. And as Harriet saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze and the frost on the meadow, and the brightly colored leaves falling to the ground, she was filled with a sense of beauty of this world, and she said, "I'm so thankful. I'm just so grateful for it all." And her Christian friend was wise enough to ask, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" Because she didn't know. So you and I are blessed to know who to be grateful to. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Always. For all things. You know, it's so easy to thank God for the good things. But for everything, both the pleasant and the unpleasant things, well, the reality is we can. Maybe not in the midst of the trouble. That's when we need our brother and sister to come up beside us and hold us up to remind us of God's love for us. But as we mature in our faith, we learn to be able to thank God, even for the difficulties that we experience, because we come to understand that, as Paul said, all things really do work together for good. The psalmist also says that he's going to express his thanks not just by speaking them to God, but by showing his love for God to others. You see, thanksgiving is more than just expressing our thanks to him. It includes sharing it, sharing our thanks to our God with others. Twice the psalmist says, "I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." Being thankful isn't merely saying something nice to God or occasionally treating him with courtesy and respect. Rather, giving thanks becomes a regular part of our lives, a regular part of our lives that other people can see. I quoted this verse earlier, "Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think that that word "always" is the key word. And I think that the word "always" is the hardest word. See, not just on Sunday, not just when things are going well, but every day. So how do we do that? Why can we do that? Because God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen.